Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I've been better.
Oh, is it the sinus infection or our topic that
It's
caused the
probably a
problem?
combination of the two. It's the sinuses, which have led me to have like a bit of a cough, which has led me to, more or less throw my back out with some of the coughs, and then eating the pork tubes. I have a headache now too, which it's just a mixture of all of the great life decisions that has led me here.
And for those listeners who might be like, pork tubes, what could that be? Well,
Do we really need to explain that?
yes, because technically, we had all beef hot dogs, so
Oh, right, sure. Beef tubes.
requires some explanation. We had a discussion the other day. We were like, okay, Dan, the conference you were going to was canceled. What should our topic be? And then Dan said hot dogs.
Because I like to reply with unhelpful responses from time to
Yeah, and I just I yes anded and
time. You acquiesced to my ambivalence towards our podcast.
yeah, well, except I was very forceful in that if we were gonna do this,
It's got to be rules.
we gotta do it the right way. So there were some rules, and we'll see through the course of this discussion how closely we both adhered to them.
Yeah.
The
Welcome to Top Two Hot Dogs.
well, three, sort of.
Oh, did you eat three?
So listeners, Dan said hot dogs, and then I said, okay, great, let's taste different hot dogs and we'll talk about it. And Dan's like, yeah, sure, we'll just try different ones. And I'm like, that doesn't work because we're in different places, so we can't like split them or anything. So like we need to have exactly the same ones so that way we can talk about them, competently, well, or otherwise, or at least similarly. So we set down some ground rules, and I was like, so for me, the top hot dogs are Nathan's Hebrew National, and I think I listed something else. But basically, we settled on Nathan's and Hebrew National. And Dan, you said you were really curious about both of them because you haven't tried them because you usually get ballpark all beef franks, and I said I don't buy those. And
To be
so,
specific, I mean in the store. I'm sure I've had them elsewhere at an event or a place or a thing, but when it comes to putting my money on the line for a pack of hot dogs at the grocery store, I go with the ballpark all beef bun length, because that's just, best bang for your buck.
I did not end up buying the bun length. I just
Oh,
bought
it doesn't make a difference.
no
It's the same thing. Same price though, is the thing.
yeah, there's a completely different formulation to make it bun length.
Different shape meat tube.
yeah no I procured that just so that I would have a frame of reference since it had been so long since I think I even had one that I didn't think I could discuss it since it was your favorite and I knew that you would be
So I'm saying
comparing.
favorite. I can already tell that you're going to not only criticize my opinions on the Hebrew National and the Nathan's, you're going to criticize my de facto hot dog.
Oh, Dan, that went without saying before we started, but that was just something I wanted to have a frame of reference for because I knew that you were skipping it because you had that frame of reference.
I'm very familiar with the ballpark hot dog, yes.
And I knew that when we discussed Hebrew National and Nathan's, you would be bringing up your default hot dog, and so I wanted to know what that default was to experience Dan's hot dog, and it was probably the saddest of the three, I have to say.
Really?
I think texture and flavor both, which was curious. It is mushier than either of them. It doesn't have much of a snap to it. It kind of just falls apart in your mouth. The just.
Can't say that I've had that particular experience, but I do think it does have less of a snap probably than the other two.
And I have to say that of the three, the Hebrew National, we should also say that for consistency's sake, we had settled on
Yes.
the jumbo versions. So that's restaurant style jumbo beef franks for Nathan's and jumbo Hebrew National hot dogs. Again, all beef. They don't make a jumbo that I could find of the ballpark, so it was just the regular ballparks. But I don't think making that wider would have made it any less mushy.
And honestly, the Nathan's jumbo is not particularly jumbo.
No. But I have to say that the snappiness of the Hebrew National is very obvious when you go back and forth between the ballpark and the Hebrew National. The Nathan's was somewhere, I would say, structurally in between them.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I would say that it's not as firm and snappy, but it is, it's got more to it than the ballpark does. And then, of course, there's flavoring and stuff, but I want to hear what you have to say about it, since these are not your default hot dogs, and you are the outsider looking into the Nathan's and Hebrew National lands.
I love that Billy Joel song. No, I'm with you up until up to this point, so I agree with you. The Hebrew
one,
National.
1 point for me.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Are we keeping score? Is that how this works?
I mean, it is as long as I'm winning, but if it takes a turn, we can just forget right. that we do that. But
yeah. Feel free to change the rules as you see necessary. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew National did have more snap. I did appreciate the actual sizing of it as well. The jumboness of the Hebrew National felt appropriately jumbo, and I'm quite certain that I've had Hebrew National at a variety of sporting events. And when I think of eating a hot dog at a baseball game, I think of the Hebrew National style dog. Although I just noticed that Nathan's Famous is the official hot dog of the MLB, so I'm not quite certain what the delineation is there, but I know I have ordered a jumbo dog at a baseball stadium, and I'm quite certain it was a Hebrew National. And because of that, I was instantly reminded that, oh, okay, this is a hot dog I like. But I'm also always grading the Hebrew National on a curve because I'm at a baseball game and I'm usually drunk and I'm eating it as quickly as possible between innings or something while I'm standing up trying not to get mustard on my shirt. So it's a good hot dog and it fits in with the baseball experience. But while it does have a better snap than the Nathan's, I found the meaty taste of it to be a little bit too much. It's a little overwhelming. It almost tasted like, I mean, you made fun of me when I said on occasion I have microwaved a hot dog, and you know when you microwave a hot dog, it brings out the worst in a hot dog, really.
W-U-R-S-T.
No, but yes, also that. But you know what I'm talking about, where it has this sort of like, not metallic-y, but you can really taste the nitrates when you microwave a hot dog.
Mm.
And I feel like that's kind of what the meaty flavor of the Hebrew National tasted like. It was a little nitrate forward there. So while it sounds like damning with faint praise to say that the Nathan's was a little bit more subtle and a little less, you know, flavorful and offensive to the palate, I think that was the one I preferred, just generally because it wasn't quite so, like the Hebrew National almost had a little bit of a sausage flavor thing going on to it, which if I want a sausage, I'm just going to get a sausage or something. It didn't really feel like it was letting the other accoutrements and the entire hot dog experience take an equal part in the dining experience. It felt like it was kicking the door down saying, no, I'm the hot dog star here. I'm going to make sure you taste as much of what I got going on as possible. And I thought it was a little overdone. I thought it was more than necessary. So that was surprising. I really wanted to like the Hebrew National. I enjoyed the size. I enjoyed the snap. Everything about the experience, except the flavor, was a little overdone for me.
Yeah. I would say that it's not the flavor in general. I would agree that there is a more pronounced beefiness to the Hebrew National than the Nathan's. I feel like there's more seasonings that come through in the Nathan's than the overall flavor of the meat. Also, I think the Nathan's might be saltier, but I have to actually like look at the packages or whatever on that one. So the Nathan's felt more balanced in flavor, but the Hebrew National definitely takes the cake when it comes to like the raw meat power of it.
Yeah, when you think like I want a jumbo hot dog because I'm at a place outdoors where I want a hot dog, Hebrew National is what your brain thinks of. But I think when all things are said and done, like if you're gonna have a couple of them and you're gonna continue to go about your day, I think you're gonna want a Nathan's because the Hebrew is gonna kind of put you back on your heels for a little bit.
Yeah, I have to agree. Of the three that we tasted, well, of the three that I tasted and two that you tasted and one that you remembered, Nathan's is my preference here. Now, people listening might be like, "What? Wait, why didn't you get the Nathan's natural casing?" Which I would say it's not widely available everywhere. And I went to two grocery stores today, Gelson's and a Ralph's, and neither of them carried it. But at least the Ralph's had the jumbos. The Gelson's only had the bun lengths for some reason. And I was like, well, does it really matter? And I was like, no, I should do it for science. Should get exactly the same one.
For science, yes. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I had I been in a slightly healthier physical state, I do want to do another pass at this. Whereas we should stipulate for the audience that the cooking method we used here was boiling, because my wife boils the hot dogs because I microwave them and then ruin them. And I don't want to go outside and use the grill, particularly today because it's raining profusely. But the boiling is fine or whatever. It's a very inoffensive way of cooking things, so it kind of stays out of the way. But I do want to take these either to a pan or a grill and see if anything changes, because I think I don't think the result's going to be different, but I think I'm going to enjoy the Nathan's even more so, because you get a little bit of that grill char on there and a little bit more crisp from some burntiness, and I think it's going to be even more enjoyable, whereas I think the Hebrew's got all the snap you're really going to need from it right out of the gate, whether you cook it on a grill or boil it.
Also, I should stipulate that I did not have enough time for water to come to a boil before we needed to record.
Did you pan them up? Did you ruin our scientific method by panning them?
I broke the rule, and I pan fried them. I'm kind of glad that I did, because after eating them, I was like, these would have been pretty sad. Also, interesting side note, the ballpark had the most browning for some reason, even though it's the palest and most pallid of the three. And I was trying to think about why that might be, and I think it maybe just has more sugar in the brine or something, because there's no logical reason why. There's no, like, snappiness to the exterior or anything else, so my guess is sugar, because I don't know why else it would have browned more than the other two.
I do wonder, I'm sure, like any industry that's been around for over 100 years, I'm sure there's a lot of secrecy and air quote science that go into why they do the things they do, but I'm sure there's a lot of demographics too. I'm sure they know probably to a certain degree of certainty whether the people who are buying these are more likely to be eating them at like a cookout on the weekend and using a grill versus cooking them indoors or boiling them. And I do wonder if they cater their casings or whatever they may have to that particular venue, so that I do feel like the ballpark is more intended to get the extra charring and browning that would come along with like a grill.
Yeah, but that's possible.
Whereas you got the other ones, you know, like the street vendor guys pulling them out of, you know, tepid water that's been sitting there for days at a time. That's more of your Hebrew National and your Nathan's, which are both New York brands that have been around since the early 1900s.
Yeah, my family's just not a boiling family. My stepfather boiled, but he got the other New York one that's in all the carts. You know what I'm talking about? S-A-B.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hot dog sab. Oh, sorry. Something stole the pointer as I was typing, so it missed literally everything. Which is
Sabado?
Sabret. Which is the you've seen that. You've seen Sabret.
I'm sure I have.
Especially Sabret. In like movies that take place in New York, you've seen Sabret.
God, what horrible packaging is this?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's their thing. It's as far as I know, always looks like that. That's the hot dog vendor one, where everybody has
real
in the cart.
Long guys.
Yeah, and so my stepfather loves those boiled, and I had those several months ago, and I was just like, not missing anything by skipping out on that one. It's not for me.
Really, the cooking process is almost a personal preference in that the hot dogs are pre-cooked, so really all you need to do is, I mean, you honestly don't even need to warm them to eat them. You can just eat them. Not that you should, because it's an incredibly unpleasant experience. But, you know, warming them and eating them is basically what the boiling method gets you versus, you know, really experiencing what comes from a good sear or a char on these things.
Yeah, I don't know, texturally, I'm just more used to having some kind of a sear or a char on them.
Oh, I agree with you. I think, and Amanda in particular, she likes hot dogs that are almost entirely black from being burnt. And I don't quite like them that well done, but I do like a good char and a blistering. The place we go once a year. It's our July 4th tradition is Ted's Hot Dogs of Buffalo, New York. They have a location in Tempe, and they've got an open charcoal grill in the place, and they grill them up right there in front of you, and char them up and blister them, and they're delicious, and it's the best hot dog in town. But I'm not going to do that at home. First of all, who's going to buy charcoal? Like, let it go. The industry's dead.
Well, do you have a charcoal grill? What kind of grill do you have? Because you talked about a grill in your backyard.
We have a propane grill, but I also have a charcoal smoker, which can be used sort of as a charcoal grill. I'm not gonna, because if you'll recall, two times ago when I used the charcoal smoker, I melted a trash can.
I do recall that, because you put the hot stuff in the plastic.
It wasn't hot. I poured water on it. I let it sit overnight. It was still somehow warm enough to incubate itself inside the trash can that it melted.
Yeah.
Quite shockingly, I might add, it was literally a puddle of green plastic. There was trash in it still somehow. I don't know where it went. Sandwiched between the green liquidiness.
Yikes.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So
hot dogs.
If Amanda likes them blistered and nearly burnt, why does she prefer them boiled?
Oh, I mean, for indoor cooking methods, it's the quickest and easiest, I think, for her. I don't know. You don't have to clean the pan. You just dump the water out. You don't have to scrub anything. There don't have any hot dog bits.
I mean, hopefully you do still clean the pan after the water gets dumped.
Sure, yes, of course.
Out.
But I mean, really, what it comes down to is, I know better than ask my wife why she's cooking something in the way she's cooking it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Benefit to asking that question.
I mean, I'm not asking you to grill her. I'm just asking, you know, if you happen to know a reason. But yeah, no, that's weird.
I think in the hierarchy of hot dog cooking methods, I think the boiling is above microwaving, and they're both right there. So she goes with the boiling.
Microwaving is not an acceptable cooking method.
Well, you know, you gotta do like Merlin says. You gotta put it on 40% power for twice as long.
Also,
sometimes you just want something hot and you don't want to do anything.
A hot dog is already a pretty sad food item by itself.
I disagree. A hot dog is delicious.
No, but it just in terms of effort, it is a pre-cooked item that you get at the grocery store and you just take out of the thing and then you get it hot somehow. The fact that you can't be bothered to dirty a pan, that you
could hold it over a lighter if it saved me from cleaning a pan.
see, that's what
hold
I mean.
It over a scented candle.
Well, don't do that. Then it's just going to smell like lavender hot dog.
Do they make candles that smell like relish?
Maybe. Oh, so that was another whoopsie doopsie by me. We had talked about condiments, which we did not get into yet. I tasted all three of the hot dogs, a single bite each, without any condiments at all. And then I put on Heinz tomato ketchup, as you do. And then I put on French's spicy brown mustard, which was between that and the Goldens that they had at the store. So I was like, well, I don't like Goldens because my mom used to buy that. And I was like,
and you also don't
want to
overwhelm it with the brown mustard. And a lot of those can be pretty potent.
Yeah. And I assume you have Heinz that you put on, and I don't know what mustard you selected for your brand, but I completely forgot to get relish because they didn't have the right kind of, they didn't have any relish except for a Heinz relish at the grocery store. And I was like, I know better than that. So I forgot to do
Was it in the ketchup squeeze bottle?
No, it was in a tiny jar.
Oh, okay.
Like an itty bitty jar.
Squeeze bottle relish is a modern revelation for large events, but I don't want that in my fridge, generally speaking.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're having a party with a bunch of people over, you don't want each one of them just sticking their grubby, dirty, used utensils in and out of containers.
No. Everything should be squeezed.
Yeah. But what condiments did you have? Because I know you had already discussed that you use Vlasic dill relish, but yes. I don't know if you employed it on this evening.
I did, and I did make sure that I did not spray on the condiments all willy-nilly. I did a single, very reasonable line down the side with the ketchup and the mustard, and I tried to go easy on the relish, but again, it's difficult with relish because it likes to clump. But I did do Heinz ketchup. I too did French's, but we had French's yellow, so I used the French's yellow, and I think it was fine and inoffensive, and it was another thing that my palate was familiar enough with to tune out so that I could focus on the meat, and the relish was good there too. If anything gave me difficulty, it was the fact that there might have been like 20% too much relish on it, just because again it's hard to get a small even line of relish down a hot dog.
Yeah, that's what you need a squeeze bottle for. But
it's true.
You didn't try the hot dogs by themselves at all. Like there wasn't like a little bald spot that you tasted.
The ends typically did not have stuff on them. Mm-hmm. I kind of weighted the condiments to the center, so I could make sure that bite was sufficiently hot dog biased.
Okay. And
trying to use my most scientific and high and large words with regard to talking about hot dogs.
Yes, scientific and large. But
jumbo words. jumbo
words.
Dogs.
Jumbo words for jumbo dogs.
It's a musical from the 50s.
But the what kind of bun did you end up going with? Did that have an effect on the consumption of these? Because these were not bun length, any of these hot dogs. So what did you find to go with it?
You'll be shocked to hear that the bun situation at the Safeway is even more dire than the hot dog situation. So the brands and the types were, I think there were three. You had your Safeway generic potato buns and your Safeway generic non-potato buns, and then you had racks and racks and racks of ballpark branded buns, which is what I chose because there were eight buns, which they do to match the eight dogs in their package, which we can get to later because the in addition to the ballparks being 50 cents less than the other ones, there are eight dogs in the ballparks versus the four and five in the Nathan's and Hebrew, which is highway robbery.
Well, they're four and five because they're jumbo. If you get the regular packs, they're more dogs in the package.
Yeah, but they're like six. They're still not eight.
I guess. I didn't really do the math on that. I thought it was eight for a Nathan's.
I don't think so.
Okay.
The price per dog, the PPD on these, is very high for what you're getting.
But I feel like it's worth it. I'm going to treat myself if I'm going to have a hot dog. I'm going to pay people a little extra. But also,
I appreciate that you're going to treat yourself. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, like, when it comes down to it, I mean, you continue to refer to the hot dog as a rather sad meal, but I don't think the ballpark is sufficiently sad enough to make it something that you should turn your nose up at when you're selecting hot dogs. If you are buying for, you know, taking money and quantity into consideration,
I think ballpark is a step above generic.
That is harsh.
That is my ruling on that. Also,
Michael Jordan was the spokesperson for ballpark hot dogs, sir.
And
Michael Jordan is no generic hot dog.
No, I mean, he's never endorsed anything that was less than amazing. But yeah,
I don't know what you're referring to, sir. Nike and ballpark hot dogs are both great. Both welcome in my home.
Do you live your life entirely around things Michael Jordan has endorsed?
You know, it's amazing that we've gone 277 episodes without getting into this. But yes, everything in my home was at one point christened by Michael Jordan.
Including Amanda?
Fun story. No, of course not. No. I don't think about Michael Jordan in any sense. But do you remember those commercials where, you know, it was on the newspapers saying Michael Jordan's going to buy a ballpark?
I don't specifically remember those. I just remember he was in lots of commercials. Mainly Nike, and I also remember he had like a Got Milk, I think, and some other stuff. He was everywhere in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. It was very good.
But anywho, just to go back to something you said earlier, when you were lamenting the sad state of affairs at your Safeway, and you settled on ballpark hot dog buns, when I was at Gelson's around lunchtime, mm-hmm. and I was trying to pick out stuff, I too looked over the options and I said, no, I can't get anything fancy. I can't get this brioche. I can't get this King's Hawaiian. I should get something plain and simple. And it was like a Wonder Bread option and the ballpark. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get ballpark because that feels like it's the Dan option. And I was so entertained when you revealed your thought process and you felt like you were springing for the ballpark over the store brand.
I did not feel like I was springing. I was doing the opposite of, buying the grocery store branded hot dog bun is like, it's not even a step above giving up. You're just giving up. You may as well buy, sliced white bread and just roll that around your hot dog. It's the same thing. It's terrible. But what kind of insane person uses King's Hawaiian or brioche buns with a hot dog? That's fancy town.
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't have done it specifically in this experiment at all because we're trying to taste these hot dogs and King's Hawaiian is way too sweet and got too much going on, and so does the brioche.
Don't get me wrong, I love a brioche and a King's Hawaiian, but they have no place in hot dogs.
No, it would be overwhelming for the dog. They also had some other options. I think it was a pretzel bun from Rockenwagner, which is I don't even know if they still have the storefront, but it basically a small bakery out here where they do like pretzel-y things they're famous for, in addition to other breads. But I was like, that is also too fancy. So I just knew it needed to be like something white, full of preservatives.
Something bread shaped mostly that's not going to get in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Not crusty, just kind of like fluff.
A soft, squishy vessel for your meat.
Yeah, yeah. But not so squishy.
Which is also how I describe myself.
but not so squishy that it doesn't hold up. Like you said, a slice of white bread would be ill-suited to the task. That's too soft.
Unless you get the bread ends, which have a little extra protection.
You sound like this is something you have experience with.
I feel like I've done this once in my life. Maybe twice in my life where I wanted a hot dog so much, and we didn't have buns that I wrapped it in a piece of bread. It definitely did not occur more than twice in my 35 years on this earth.
Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, if we had leftover hot dogs, cause they would always have, hot dogs and buns in odd numbers, as you do. And, so sometimes there would be leftover hot dogs and no bun to put them in. And I would grab the, sliced Nature's Own, bread that my mom would buy. I would put a slice of the generic version of Kraft singles that we got from Cash and Carry on the Nature's Own bread, and then I would put the hot dog on it and kind of roll it, and the American cheese would, of course, melt instantly into its yellowy, liquidy substance around the hot dog. Mm-hmm. So it worked out okay.
See, this sounds like we're... I don't want to push this podcast into oblivion, but we're on a thread here where we're leaning into our sort of it sounds inappropriate to say guilty pleasure version of a hot dog, because there's really no unguilty pleasure version of a hot dog. But there are a lot of types of hot dogs that I've enjoyed over the past years, and one of the kinds that I think Amanda made it because she was just like in the mood for a childhood meal at one point, is you get the crescent rolls and you roll them around a hot dog with the slice of American cheese there. You ever done one of those?
Not with a full hot dog, but usually
you can get the mini hot dogs, but you can do them with a full hot dog too, and then you got a little bit of hot dog poking out on either end for dipping.
When we were kids, my mom would get hot dogs, and then she would cut them into like 1.5 to 2 inch pieces, and then roll them in the Pillsbury biscuit dough, and then bake those. And those were hot dog. Those were pigs in a blanket. And those were sad and not very good, especially since she was using the Pillsbury biscuit dough, which didn't always fully bake.
Oh yeah,
through
no, but part of it is if you're gonna wrap it with cheese in particular, the inner bottom section is going to be incredibly doughy.
Yeah, it's just doughy and wet and unpalatable, and then somehow the outside will scorch.
It's just yes. You'll get some scorch, you'll get some doughy, you get a little bit of fluffiness on the top, and it'll hold together just long enough for you to dip it in some ketchup and mustard and take a bite.
Oh, it's so sad. It's not for me. Somebody should make a fancy version of that. Although, have you had the Chinese or Taiwanese sausage buns?
I don't think I know what that is.
Oh, it's basically bread baked around a hot dog. Yeah, they just call
like
it a sausage
dog.
Bun. Yeah, and they, it comes.
Have you had a Wetzel dog?
No, of course not.
It's good stuff. You dip in the cheese. See, now those are proportionally those are Hebrew National jumbos. They're big, thick boys with pretzels wrapped around them. I wonder if they say on their website who they actually source their hot dogs from. Wetzel's pretzels.
Yeah, there's just nothing about the Wetzel brand that makes me want to pursue a meat product from them.
Well, and again, when you consume a Wetzel dog, it's because you are a victim of circumstance and you were in a place where you need some food, and they are there.
You just seem like you're victimized by circumstance on a lot of occasions.
I'm a millennial. That's how I roll. Click here to download allergen information. No, that doesn't. They don't seem to want to reveal the source of their Wetzel dog.
Did you try Googling what kind of hot dog is in a Wetzel hot dog?
I could do that, I suppose.
Yeah. It feels like the kind of like natural language question that
hot dog
would return up a result.
Wetzel dog. According to the Wetzel dog, bites are 100% beef mini hot dogs. Bites, these are the bite-sized ones. I don't care about the bite-sized ones. Who is making their beef tubes? 20th anniversary. They released it, you know, they had the press release about their dipping sauces and their mini bites, but no information on who actually makes them. See, even the Wikipedia article doesn't seem to say hot dog. Hot dogs. Oh, wait, this is just famous other affiliated similar restaurants. Hot dog on a stick. Are you familiar with a hot dog on a stick?
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I think I paid like $18 one time for a meal at Hot Dog on a Stick, and it was garbage. It's no wiener schnitzel.
How did you do that?
I don't know. I ordered like a hot dog and a drink and then like a side or something at Hot Dog on a Stick, and it was legitimately almost $20. I was like, what is happening? And then, you know, unsurprisingly, they went out of business.
Well, I'm shocked. Whistle.
Yeah, you should be. So, generally speaking, what is your default? Because we sort of met in the middle here with condiments and the various setup here. So we know you're a pan boy. That's not
no.
We know you prefer to cook your hot dogs in a pan.
Yes.
What do you normally put on your hot dogs? When nobody's watching. You're eating at home alone. You've decided I'm going to be a guy who eats a hot dog for dinner tonight. What are you putting on it?
Okay. The one item that is essential that I absolutely will not skip is ketchup. And I don't understand the hatred of ketchup on hot dogs, that which has persisted for a long time. And anytime anybody...
Are you talking about the Chicago weirdos?
Not just them. There are a lot of people who are like, no, mustard is the only thing. Maybe sometimes onions on relish and blah, 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 blah. And maybe tomatoes and a cucumber and like, you know, people just get a little weird about it. But for whatever reason, ketchup is taboo. But I got to disagree. When I was a kid, we had ketchup. Has ketchup.
Do these people put ketchup on anything? Because I feel like these are the kind of people who don't put ketchup on anything.
Yeah, well, I would have these arguments and be like, yeah, it's ketchup's for hamburgers. And it's like, but what is the significant difference? Meat disc bun, meat tube bun. I don't know. Maybe it's just tradition that, sausages and mustard together,
I will go with that. Like with a sausage, I like a mustard and a sauerkraut kind of dog, or well, sausage, I should say.
Yeah. Well, and I don't have a problem with mustard as long as it's not French's yellow. I hate French's yellow mustard, which is why when I was a kid, I thought I hated mustard because that was mustard. That's what mustard was in the universe. Other than seeing Grey Poupon commercials where you'd be like, wow, look at those fancy people and their Grey Poupon. I hope I'm like that someday. But like that is, just what mustard was just this yellow, neon yellow, awful primary yellow disgustingness.
And I didn't have that experience. I think French's was there, but there was also a fair amount of the aptly named stadium mustard. And my dad loved horseradish, which I never really understood, like to the point that it would like harm him, like the way I like Chinese spicy mustard with egg rolls and stuff now. But like, you know, you get that jar of like kind of horseradishy mustard, and then you just see somebody like sniffing profusely through their way through a meal, and it's like, that doesn't look right. I don't want any of that in my food.
No, yeah, I saw that at the grocery store today, and I said, who would buy that?
the answer is my dad in the 90s.
Yeah. But my mom would occasionally have an incredibly old squeeze bottle of Golden's in the fridge, and I also did not like that one. So again, I thought it was like bad news for mustard in general.
Turns out there's a million different kinds of mustards, and they're all pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm fine with mustard. It's good on things. I feel like it is more essential for me if I am having a bratwurst or something, like a savory German sausage, then I'm going to gravitate more towards your spicy mustards.
Gotta respect the German heritage.
Yeah. But when it comes to hot dogs, I'm just really, you know, ketchup first, then mustard. It you know, can have other toppings like relish we discussed. I just never keep relish on hand because it's not for a lot of applications, really. So I just don't have it.
Here's another line in the sand I think you're going to draw, because I know for a fact that you're not a raw onion fella. But what about in the instance of hot dogs and or sausages? Will you go with a diced white raw onion on there?
Under no circumstances.
See, now you're missing out. So that's added texture, and then there's an acceptable level of moisture that comes with it. It is a great addition, to the point that I will even use that weird little turning metal mechanism at the baseball stadium that vomits out onions onto my hot dog in a public place.
Ugh. No, Sinsawaya. I that's not for me. That's gross. Speaking of ballparks, the only time that I can recall in recent memory going to a ballpark was that one time I went to Dodger Stadium like 6 or 8 years ago, it was Dollar Dodger Dog Day, and I had too many of those, and I felt very ill, incredibly ill afterwards. It was awful. The thing there was they also had your mayo, your mustard, and I think they had a cheese option, but I didn't go for it. I didn't spring for it. And did you ever have situations where there's like a liquid cheese option for you?
Absolutely. Like a cheese whiz.
Yeah. And do you go for that on your hot dog?
So in the instance of, let's go back to our once a year, we're going to the good hot dog place. My typical order is one is going to be sort of your up the middle kind of ketchup mustard relish. They also do like a homemade hot sauce, which is like a sweet hot sauce. So sometimes I'll put that on there. But then the other one is always going to be a chili cheese and onion dog. And yes, in that instance, I am using the Wizzy cheese.
Oh, that's interesting. Usually with a chili dog, you're going to find the shredded cheese.
No, see, this place in particular, they have large vats of liquidy cheese that they will spoon on there and then cover with a very meaty chili, and then you put a little bit of the diced onion on top.
Oh, wait, it's cheese, then chili, then onion?
I believe that is the order in which they apply it.
Well, it's very unusual. All the chili dogs I've ever had, it's always the dog, your chili, then your shredded cheese, and then they put the diced raw onion on top of that.
See, that sounds dangerously close to some Cincinnati chili shit.
See, well, I think that is the inspiration for such a thing.
Yeah, that's applying the improper logic to the hot dog there. Really, you want to build something that's structurally, like the cheese is going to melt down around the sides of the hot dog into the bun, and then the chili is going to just sort of stay on top and kind of keep everything packed in there.
Well, except the cheese actually acts as, if you're using shredded cheese, it melts and then it forms kind of a connective membrane to keep all the chili together.
Are they putting it in a broiler to make sure it's warm enough to actually melt?
No, the chili's hot and it's this little shredded cheese.
I'm dubious.
I'm sorry. I don't know how you have never had a chili dog like that before in your life.
I'm sure I have, but the place that I go to once a year to eat a hot dog it does not do it that way.
Interesting. Speaking of chili dogs, that is not something that I usually gravitate towards because, again, usually it's onion. And if you try to order a chili dog without onion, people look at you funny. And I don't want to be judged. I'm the judger, not the judgee.
You're the judger.
Yeah.
You're the decider, not the hot dog eater.
Yeah, I am the law.
the onion law. Fair enough. I think on the whole, if I were to grade the ratio of chili dogs to regular dogs, it's probably like one third chili dogs to two third regular dogs. Just like on the whole, like for my life's score there.
Yeah. Also, if you're talking to somebody about hot dogs, and you're talking to them about hot dogs. You're not talking to them about chili dogs. Chili dogs, I feel like, are its own separate subject.
They are a horse of a different color.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly, hopefully, made out of beef instead of horse.
I was just going to make that joke about the chili. But the, yeah. The,
a horse tube covered with horse chili.
it's a horse of a different chili. You know the famous episode of The Simpsons where Lisa decides to become a vegetarian and she thinks about everything that goes into what a hot dog is. There's a funny little thought bubble about the raccoon feet, the rat's tail, the pigeon head, and the tongue of a boot that all kind of come together and form a hot dog.
I mean, you talk about hot dogs for long enough, every conversation is going to steer into Upton Sinclair at some point. So it's just, you know, you're best to get in and out as quickly as possible. I mean, there's a reason hot dog is a fast food to eat, so you don't sit around really contemplating the farm to table origin of your hot dog, because that farm is probably the alley behind the place that made it.
Yeah. Welcome to the jungle.
I've never been to a place that makes their own hot dogs in house, but if I did, I feel like I wouldn't trust it as much as I would trust like a Nathan's.
Well, why?
I don't know. I would be worried about what they're putting in there.
But more so than Nathan's?
Yeah, I feel like they are they've got it down to the point that if they were going to kill us with something or feed us very bad things, we would have figured it out by now. And they really wouldn't be able to do it at scale. Like when you're using bits and bobs and pieces of what you can find around, that doesn't really scale very well. But these guys are already at a scale. I mean, they're sponsoring yearly hot dog eating contests. Like you can't just like throw any old thing in there. People notice.
Well, like you just said, at scale, like are you going to notice a rat's tail in a 5 trillion gallon slurry of stuff?
Oh no, I'm just saying like they can't rely on the rat's tails because where are they going to get that many rat's tails?
No, I well, see, that's the thing, is like I don't think it's a steady stream of of bad things. I think it's just...
You think they're working on their quota, like, this week they're, like, a couple pounds light, and they're like, you know what, run around the corner and go grab a couple of rat's tails so we can bump our weight quota up for this week so we don't, you know, get the suspicions of the headquarters folks.
Well, I don't think it's like that, because you would want consistency in your products still.
That's what I'm saying. I think people would notice.
Well, but I just think that it, you know, these are not... There's no sourcing information on, like, the cuts of meat or anything. Now, Hebrew National says they lean heavily on how they only use kosher beef, and it's, you know, you're basically the stuff towards the front of the cow. But
the beef is probably kosher, but the rat tail's not so much.
Yeah, I mean, there's been much published about how gimmicky that all winds up being. At the end of the day, and you know, it's just not, there's nothing that wholesome about any of these. Like, even if it's something that won't immediately kill you, something that just tastes good and is appealing and fills you up, and you order it like many, many times, it may kill you in 50 years or something cumulatively. You don't know. Nitrates are not that good. Nitrates and nitrites are not like health foods. So yeah, this is just like a bunch of stuff goes in them.
Yeah, I mean, these days, while I agree it is important to be remotely health conscious in some way, especially with regard to your dubious meat tubes, I think there are a lot of other things that are going to kill us first.
Oh yeah, I mean, the news recently, but yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe my sinus infection is in fact the plague or whatever.
Well, I mean, that would be unusual, because I don't think that it's really that symptom. But
no, it says it's rare, but you know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's one of those things that is not incredibly helpful. I was looking at the
list of symptoms where it's like, yeah, here's two symptoms that always happen, and then here's three more that are rare. It's like, that's not even remotely specific enough for anyone to make any sort of determination.
No. If only there was some way to test people on some kind of reliable basis with widely available testing.
Yeah. Then we could go in and we could really see, like, what percentage of this hot dog is horse meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, remember when IKEA got in trouble for horse meat in their IKEA meatballs?
wasn't that not real?
No, it was real, but only in Europe. It was not the ones that they manufacture here in the US. Because people don't usually ship their economical foods overseas. It's much easier to just make it over there.
Yeah.
Your Greek yogurts, not so Greek. They're sometimes Greek companies, but it's manufactured in the U.S. just because it's
Greek style yogurt.
Yeah, it's too much of a pain in the butt to try to ship it.
I was at an IKEA this weekend, and as soon as you walk in, before you go up the escalator, there's a big sign that pointed to the cafeteria, and it said veggie balls. So I guess they're steering away from the questionable meats.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they still have those hot dogs that are, what are they, $1.50, something like that.
Does IKEA have hot dogs?
Yeah, they have hot dogs. And so does Costco.
I am all for Costco hot dog. What is, like, $1.30, and you get a hot dog and a large drink or whatever the hell it is? It's a great deal.
Yeah, well, the owner is very insistent on keeping the price at that level. I just want you to think about all of the other things in the world that have increased in price over time, and what you have to do to a hot dog
you make it up in volume is what you do. It's a wholesale warehouse.
I don't think that's how the ingredients of the hot dog work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're just not thinking on a large enough scale.
No, obviously not. So many hot dogs. But did you see the news that they're going to start, you're going to need to have a membership in order to buy food there? Like, from the hot dog and stuff.
I think I did see that. Mm-hmm. Although, unless they're actually scanning your card before you order at the counter, like they do when you actually check out, like, they're not going to if you go in that back door past the returns desk, like, they're not going to stop you every time to go in that way with your car the way they do when you go on the front end. They're not particularly vigilant is what I'm saying.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I'm not a Costco member and I've never had a Costco dog.
Oh my goodness, Joe. Missing out, buddy. You know the plumpness and the snapness of the Hebrew National? That's what it's all about there. It's big. It's like a foot-long version of the Hebrew National. It's a big boy.
This doesn't sound good. Why would I want that?
Think about all the bang for your buck you get there.
Dad, I'm not a bang for your buck person. I am a quality per your bang person.
Mm-hmm. You're from Florida. Don't ever forget it.
Well, I know, but I try to hide my Florida roots by being fancy and having, you know, Dijon mustard from France. That's even better than Grape Poupon.
I was going to say, using French words that nobody can validate whether or not they're real.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter pound plus all beef hot dog or Polish sausage, $1.50 and a 20-ounce soda with refill.
No.
Kirkland Signature hot dogs.
No. I don't want it. I don't want it at all.
Just saying, there, you know, sometimes you get a busy weekend, you got to go to Costco, you got to get the essentials. You're really hungry. You don't have the time or the energy to figure out where you're going to eat next because you live in suburbia and everything is another 20-minute drive out of your way. And the hot dog's right there. It's calling out to you saying, get a hot dog. You know what? While you're here, get a slice of pizza too. It'll still be under $10.
See, that's also like, why would I do that?
Because you're hungry and you've lost control of your life.
I was going to say, this is, again, we're back to $2. We're back to the sadness. This is not a good meal.
You know, it's Buddhism. Sometimes you step off the path, you can step right back on. Stepping off the path is getting a Costco dog and a slice of pizza. And then when you're done, you step back on the path. And you try to become the person that you want to be again.
What is a slice of Costco pizza like?
Oh, it's it's like a DiGiorno that hasn't been frozen yet.
So
picture any freezer pizza,
uh-huh,
but instead of immediately freezing it, they throw it in an oven, cook it, and then they serve it to you. And it's real big. It's like 18 inches.
So a little on the doughy side, flavorless crust?
It's fluffy, flavorless crust. It's a very large slice. It's the size of a New York slice, but it's probably twice as thick for no apparent reason. Other than that, it's full of just breadiness and
flour
and very, very, very poor quality cheese with ingredients that are sort of embedded into the melty cheese.
Is it the kind of cheese that doesn't like brown when it melts? It just kind of sits
it liquefies
in place
and then drips off of the pizza along with the grease.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Costco what a deal. Pizza.
Oh, here's a good image I got to send you.
Don't know if
it's got a little bit of browning to it.
Mm.
It's but you can see the lack of structural integrity there.
No, this is like someone took a Domino's pizza, just made one slice out of it.
It's worse than Domino's in that there's a very minimal amount of very tomatoey sauce, and then they just try to cover it up by giving you way too much cheese because, you know, Costco.
That's unsettling.
Yeah,
this is really unpleasant. I'm sorry, listeners who love this.
Here's an article on Mashed.
Treat.
This is why Costco's pizza is so delicious. Is it possibly because it's $1.99? Because I can't think of another reason.
I think it's mainly the price.
How do they manage to ensure that each and every pie is so perfect? Robots with little help from human helpers. The dough, which according to this person, is allowed to rise for 24 to 27 hours, is key to the pizza's success, is placed into a machine that effortlessly presses the blob into a nice even circle, guaranteeing that it is not overworked. After that, Costco food court workers have only to stretch the dough the tiniest bits to make it fit the pan before rolling it with a dough docker. Oh.
It just puts little holes in it to keep air bubbles from being too big.
I haven't heard the phrase dough docker before, but I know what docking dough is. Anyway,
you know what docking is?
You know what? Let's not go there. Because we've spent enough time talking about meat tubes here. Now comes the fun part, the sauce robot. The pizza pan takes a spin under a spigot that perfectly sauces every pie, dispensing just the right amount each time. And bring to mind memories of kindergarten spin art. So they have a sauce sink faucet.
Yeah, they just squeeze the sauce on it. Yeah, that sounds delicious.
6 minutes to make a pizza.
Great. I mean, let's just see if we can shave down some more time off of that.
Yeah, it takes me longer to boil my hot dogs. I'm all right.
Yeah, you gotta wait for the water to come up to temperature.
Depending on how close you are to sea level, that could be a really long time.
So wait, no. When you're boiling your hot dogs, you don't just take a pot, put water in it, then just put the dogs in and then turn it on. You're actually boiling the water first before you put the hot dogs in, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, and don't say
it's
of
not,
course.
It's not a hard-boiled egg where you can boil it with the egg in it from the start.
Well, I just don't know. It's not my preference.
It's also not me who's doing the boiling, so maybe that's what she does, but I don't think so.
You've never seen the hot dogs get cooked?
I look from a distance, but I'm usually at a lower level on the couch, so I can't really see into the pan.
I have a follow-up question. So, you keep saying Amanda makes these.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But they're hot dogs.
So yeah, she likes hot dogs.
Theoretically, you could make these.
Oh, sure.
So that Amanda doesn't have to do anything, like as a treat.
Yes, but on occasion she'll start the food before I get home because it takes me a very long time to get home.
Okay.
So we have time to consume our meat tubes and have a nitrate nap on the couch before I have to do a podcast.
I just was, you know, judging you on your enforcing of traditional gender roles.
No, I don't stand over her with a leather belt in my hand waiting for her to cook the hot dogs.
No. That's awful. Just curious why you couldn't, like, but then, you know, maybe she
doesn't. It's not that I can't.
Maybe she just doesn't want to have microwave hot dogs. That's what it comes down to.
I think a lot of the things she does comes down to the fact that she just doesn't really want me touching certain things because I'm just going to do it badly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a phrase in work and food that, that sometimes done is better than good.
Oh.
We can slave over this meal for 4 hours, but at the end of the day, it's still going to be hot dogs.
Well, done is the enemy of good. So,
mm-hmm.
On that note, on
how in God's name do we talk for an hour about hot dogs?
Well, I mean, we did diverge briefly to talk about that god-awful pizza. We covered all the bases on hot dogs, and we're definitely not going to receive any correspondence about things we've said about hot dogs, our choices.
Here's what I want from people. I want to know people's hot dog preference and their everyday carry condiments for the hot dog. But I don't want to hear how we were wrong about anything in particular.
Yes. You can express your preferences and your opinions without saying that our opinions are wrong. That's just something Dan and I do to each other.
Yeah, exactly. You can tell Joe he's wrong, but not me.
Yeah,
I'm kidding. No, don't tell us we're wrong.
Yeah.
But I do want to know what kind of dog people buy typically, what their fave is, and what their everyday condiments are.
Yeah. And also, if you're okay, one last thing.
Top five desert island hot dogs. No, go ahead.
That's tough. One more thing. Like, if you're in an environment. We had previously discussed sausages briefly. Mm. If you're in an environment, like let's say a carnival or a street fair or
ooh.
Some other gathering that would probably be canceled these days, what are your options? Basically, like if you have a hot dog stand, a bratwurst, and an Italian sausage with peppers and onions, what? Mm. What are you probably going to gravitate towards just out of those three? You know, knowing that you're probably not going to get all three of them.
Is this a listener prompt or are you asking me right now?
Well, I'm asking you, but the listeners can also respond.
So, and again, here's the thing. I sort of object to the question from the get-go because if I'm going to be in this environment, I'm not going to be in a healthy mental state. I'm going to be there for hours on end. I'm probably going to be drinking. And I'm probably going to say, like, well, first of all, the hot dog stands outnumber the bratwurst sausage stands like 5-1. So it's just going to be easier in a large crowd to get a hot dog, which is probably what I'm going to do first. But as soon as I get it, I'm going to regret not getting an Italian sausage or bratwurst. So towards the end of the evening, when I'm making progressively less intelligent decisions, I'm probably going to go back and I'm going to get a sausage of some sort. Now, the question about what type of sausage is a difficult one, because I am a big fan of sausage and peppers, you know, having a vaguely Italian type family, and I will wreck myself with some sausage and peppers on an Italian sausage, and just pay the price for that later. But it depends, you know. It's if there's a place where they'd look like they have a quality bratwurst, where I can get some, you know, some sauerkraut and some things going on that actually taste German and not just like somebody who bought a bag of bratwurst somewhere at the grocery store. I love a bratwurst, but it's not the de facto. It's less common to do well than I think the order of operations is going to go: hot dog, Italian sausage, bratwurst, and we'll see how many of those I can get in before I hate myself and want to die. Usually one and maybe two.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, it's going to be a different method of thinking. I'm going to think I can just have a hot dog at home, and it's going to be better than the hot dog here, or at least the same as, because there's nothing that special about hot dogs in this environment.
But you don't think the environment adds something to the hot dog experience?
Not particularly. To be
I think of
honest.
A hot dog as like a tall, shitty light domestic beer kind of thing. Like it's a you have that at an event. You have that at a place where you want to be part of the crowd. But I respect your opinion to say I can have a better hot dog at home, so I will save that for later.
Yeah, well, but just to say, it's easier to make a hot dog at home if I felt like having one. So it deprioritizes it for me.
Oh, are you saying because you're not the kind of person that's going to buy a packaged Italian sausage or bratwurst? You would want to go to an actual like deli or something where you can get a real one, and that is harder to do and just in day-to-day life that you're not going to do that as often.
Oh no, of course not. I'll totally have it out of a package. Johnsonville, well, okay. Or whatever, Papa Cantella's, whatever brand you got, it's fine, as long as it's not Jennie-O's turkey sausage. Please never.
But so then you can have one at home.
Well, but here's the thing, the peppers and onions that you need to cook for a really long time in order to have the appropriate texture for them, and also to have the accompanying hoagie roll to put it on, so that you have the sausage, the peppers and onions, and the hoagie roll. Like having those things available at your home is not as easy to do, because you're not typically going to make that for a dinner for yourself.
You're not going to buy the cooked down sausage and peppers in a jar or something. Like, no. You're not putting giardiniera on your hot dog or anything.
No, you're bratwurst. You're cooking that for a good, like, probably 40 minutes. You're also cooking those hot dogs for a while to get a nice crisp crust on them, because they're fresh sausages. They're not even, like, pre-cooked. Your hot dogs. And then the hoagie roll situation, where it's just like, yeah, sure, you can get a hoagie roll, but it's like, are you going to eat a pack of like 8 hoagie rolls or something? Or, you know,
I think
six
that does factor
rolls?
Into the math probably more than a lot of these other points. Is, are you really going to eat 6 bratwursts on hoagie rolls in your house? Probably not.
No. And so in that environment, I'm more likely to go for the Italian sausage. And also, I would say that I prefer sweet Italian sausage to spicy Italian sausage. But to your point earlier, they both still ruin you. So
I think it's less about the sausage and more about the accompanying peppers and onions and occasional tomato sauce that's mixed in there too. But nothing about it is a good decision. So you're saying you go Italian sausage over bratwurst if you have the choice?
Absolutely. I like the caraway, the kind of fennel-y seed goodness of the Italian sausage.
Okay. So, in what instance did you go with the bratwurst?
I would go with the bratwurst over the hot dog if there was no Italian sausage option available. Because,
interesting,
for the same reason, I can make bratwurst at home, but when I do that, I'm usually not putting it on a hoagie roll or whatever with, you know, sauerkraut and all the other accompaniments. Mostly because Jason doesn't like sauerkraut. And also,
oh, how dare he?
Yeah, I know. Well, he doesn't like any like lacto fermented foods. So no kimchi, no sauerkraut.
He doesn't like kimchi.
He doesn't like kimchi.
Have we talked about this? That sounds. Yeah. Like, that I don't like that. I don't. That sounds.
It's a point of contention.
Sounds bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jason thinks the world of you because you like all the foods that I don't like. Like. Whatever you guys had at Trotto, when he was over in Arizona, he's like, yeah, they had all the stuff that you don't have, and I was like, great, it's fine.
Wait, what did we have that you don't have? We had pasta and some pork chops and that weird chickpea crepe thing.
Yeah, I don't remember. Well, Jason liked that, but there was something else that you guys ordered that I don't remember what it was, but he was just like, you don't like that. it was just, you know. It's one of the things where it's just like, I like sauerkraut, but I'm not going to buy sauerkraut and then keep it around because Jason doesn't like it.
The problem with sauerkraut is they come in like a gallon jar and you're going to use 3 scoops of it and then it's going to sit there for 4 years.
Yeah, or you buy the awful canned sauerkraut.
Oh, boy.
My grandfather would do that. It was
sauerkraut
not good.
Already tastes metallic-y enough. You don't need to buy it out of a can.
No, and the storage options for it once the can is opened are not good.
Did he just dump it in a Ziploc bag?
No, he would put like saran wrap and a rubber band around the top.
Oh, like it's a can of dog food.
Oh, so it was not good. It was not a good option for storage. I would say. Well, it's good to know your thought process. I like how you're like, I'm gonna do all three of these, so I'm just gonna start small, get the lowest common denominator option, and then I'll work my way up to the good stuff.
I think the underlying thing here is that I don't eat hot dogs all that frequently. And when I do, I really tune into my suburban whiteness and I go, you know what? I really want a hot dog right now. And then I'm in line for the hot dog and the whole time I'm side-eyeing the bratwurst and the Italian sausage. I'm like, I really want a hot dog. And then I'll eat the hot dog and I'll be like, you know, I still really want one of those other ones, but I'm really full and I feel kind of gross because, you know, all these people are gross and I just ate a gross hot dog. But, you know, a couple hours will go by and I'll forget how bad I feel, or, you know, I'll get some vertigo from a carousel ride or something and be like, you know what? It's Italian sausage time. Will you share some with me? And then of course nobody ever does. Particularly my wife. I'm not sharing hot dogs with anybody else. I don't know why I said that. But yeah, then I eat the whole thing and she'll eat half a bite or she'll be like, no, never mind, I changed my mind. So
well, it makes you feel better to offer it up like, oh, well, somebody else will have some of this, so I'm not eating the whole thing by myself.
At a certain point, it's actually desperation. It's like, please eat half of this because I know myself. I've already made poor decisions today. I'm going to continue to eat this because it's easier for me to put this in my mouth and try to find one of these filthy trash cans that are overflowing with garbage. And I don't want to eat this whole thing, so please help.
Yeah.
Anyway,
on that note, listeners,
cry for help.
thank you for listening to our cry for help. This has been the cry for help hour on Defocused. We'll probably return with something else next
week. Not two hot dogs.
but it was three. But
I forgot you had three.
And we didn't actually like pick our top.
I think we did. I think we both agreed that Nathan's was the top.
Okay, so what's your top dog and your underdog?
Of the two?
Mm-hmm.
Nathan's is the top dog.
Mm-hmm.
And Hebrew is the underdog.
Okay. And then for me, because I had three, I got to rank them. Nathan's, Hebrew, and then on the very, very bottom, Ballpark.
I mean, I should have made you buy a package of those Bar S ones.
Why? So I can have something else below it?
So you can offer some respect to the Ballpark Frank.
Congratulations on being slightly better than completely 100% mass produced.
They plump when you cook them.
Do they? Isn't that mainly just like the water and the solution?
It's their motto. They plump when you cook them. All right. Let that be the final word on hot dogs this evening.
Yeah. Plump when you cook them.
Mm-hmm.